scripture this morning is from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is written by King Solomon, the wisest man, aside from Jesus, to ever walk the earth. This is what he wrote. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Their story becomes our story. The Lord God in his goodness has blessed us with 145 years of mission and ministry as Thorndale United Church. And we are a remembering people, and it is good that we remember that God has chosen us, baptized us, and brought us together as the church in this place. God often called his people to remember his saving acts, and he would frequently say to them, "I am the God who brought you out of Egypt," or "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," so that they would remember. We remember the many saving acts of God, the creation, the flood, the covenant, the Exodus, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the church. In our simple context here in Thorndale, we remember God's faithfulness as God raised amazing people to lead and to serve. Some of you, although you would have been very young then, might remember your longest serving minister, Reverend Donald Perry, who led you for 13 years. Perhaps he may have baptized some of you or your children. Following him were Reverend Donald Atkinson, Reverend Murray Bannon, Reverend Robert Hunt, Reverend Roger Rice, and Reverend Ross McCann. More of you will recall the ministries of Reverend Sheila McGregor, Reverend Jane Van Patter, and Reverend Mary Stewart. These men and women followed the passions God placed in them to teach, to preach, and to be examples of Christ's love toward his people. They shepherded Jesus' flock and were faithful to bring the word alive. But for all that they offered, the real service of this place was in the people. And over the years, many people have stood up and taken charge and led in various ways. Some served more in the foreground, and many more quietly in the background. I'd like to share some of these stories with you. I know that it isn't a complete history. We don't have enough time this morning. But within our collective, we hold so many stories. And maybe, I'm just kind of thinking, we should start a column in the church chat called Remember When, so that these stories get passed to those of us who weren't here to know them then. To begin, this church did not always have a basement. It was dug out in 1959. The floor was raised and the fellowship hall and the kitchen were added, along with washrooms and a new furnace. And the work was done by many volunteers. The front entrance was added and the sanctuary was renovated with new pews and a center aisle and new flooring. Ken Brook and Ray Jones were part of the crew, along with many other of the congregation. During the construction, services were held at Thorndale School, which I think was down the road, right? Just across the street and down a bit. Imagine if those folks in that time had said, oh no, that's too big a project. It'll cost too much money. There's no way that we can do that. And that they trusted in the looks of their finances rather than God. Imagine. But instead, their faithfulness proved to be fruitful, and we are still enjoying the space that they created 65 years ago. See, our vision is always limited, but God sees well into the future, and He used the faithfulness of that congregation to bless the future congregations. This fellowship hall was well used, even back then. And for many years, the beef supper, with which we are famous for, was held in the basement, and I have a hard time even imagining that. And they offered three sittings. The first sitting was at noon, and this I also can't even imagine, on the Saturday of the Thorndale Fair, following the parade. Like, what? That's crazy. And, of course, would make an extremely busy day for those who wanted to go to the fair and check out their prize winnings. Subsequently, reason came to the foreground, and the dinner was modified to be sandwiches, which were sold at the front of the church during and after the parade. And this was well received by the community, but still a busy day, mostly for the church ladies. Eventually, the sandwiches became a bake table and eventually disappeared altogether. And today, we have seen modifications to how the beef supper happens. COVID forced us to rethink things, and we did. And now we are just beginning to kind of get back into how it once was, with sit-down eating and takeout eating. Change is inevitable. And it is a wonderful blessing when we can embrace those changes for a better future. These dinners of the past were similar to the dinners of today in that it was an all-hands-on-deck event. And as well as the beef supper, there was the strawberry social, which we still do today. That earned revenue went to help the pastoral charge with their shared expenses. Now, Howard and Cliff Jones had a brotherly rivalry about who would sell the most tickets for the strawberry supper. They would only take 25 tickets at a time, and then they would quickly sell them and run back to the Clays, who are handling the money and the tickets, and get 25 more and find out how's my brother doing. Good old church fun. As we have amazing leaders today who convene at the dinner, so too did our predecessors. And for many years, Audrey McCutcheon convened most of the suppers. And if it wasn't her, it was Helen Elliott, John's mom. They had the strawberry social, the beef supper, and back then they also catered the Lions' monthly meetings. Now it's funny the little things that get remembered. And Elaine recalls how Audrey always stressed the water for the tea had to be boiled before you put it into the tea server. The perks just didn't get it hot enough, and I think we still make our tea like that, right? So she had to have been right. Now, certainly Audrey McCutcheon was a mainstay for the church for probably all her life. She even sang in the choir, and I can't help but notice how many of our leaders also sing in the choir. I don't know if that will help people join the choir or scare them away. Not sure. Now, Alan, Audrey's husband, also served a lot in this congregation, and he was a Sunday school superintendent for a really long time. And, of course, he was a great help at the church suppers as well. And I can't help but think that the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree, as they say. Stu. Now, Audrey also became the church treasurer following our beloved Grace Fulton, who did that job for 35 years. And look how many, the longevity that came from that. I think there might be an explanation, like, you know, maybe a little research needs to be done on those who have been church treasurers and how long they live afterward. Because she's still going, that sweetheart. But it's a case of two monarchs who deeply love the Lord, and they turn that love into dedicated service. Certainly the McCutcheons loved God, and they loved this church, and they lived a life so dedicated to both. And of course, there were others. We've all heard the stories of packed Sunday school classes with dozens of kids, and Dr. Green's daughter, Jane, took on the superintendent position following Alan. In those days, there were close to 50 children in the Sunday school, and she was an amazing leader, considering she was 18 years at the time. The church family missed her when she had the nerve to get married and move away. And in those days, the kids were there every Sunday. And because they had such a strong, committed group, they could do wonderful things like the annual Christmas concert. Apparently, there were 6 different age groups, and so I would assume that many teachers. The Greens were another of those pinnacle families of the church. And Dr. Green taught an adult Sunday school class before church service, along with Myrtle Napton and Viola Simpson. Shirley Green sang in the choir, also involved in the UCW, just to name a couple of the things. And then there was Grace McGuffin, another Thorndale United Church lifer. She always sang in the choir. She was a loyal UCW member. She regularly attended Bible study. And being as she just lived across the road, she kind of kept a watchful eye over the activities going on over here. She was a brilliant example of a faithful servant. I can't help but notice the similarity between the past leaders and our current leaders. And I know they will be humbly embarrassed as I mark them out. And I can already hear them saying, others do a lot too. And yes, I know that is true. But if you only have workers and no leaders, you have no direction. So even though they may not realize how important they are to what happens here, I know it, and God knows it. I can only speak to my time here, which has been over a decade, so that's a pretty big span. But here are some of the amazing godly servants that I notice. Yvonne, Chris, Elaine, Pat Jones. Now, these happen to be the ladies that supplied me with a lot of the stories, too, not surprisingly. These ladies know the heartbeat of our congregation, and they are involved in so many ways. I know if I had asked you to write a list, their names would have been on the top of your list. And these are the names that a future generation will say made a difference in the life and longevity and ministry of Thorndale United Church. Chris, Elaine, and Yvonne have always been involved with the UCW, with church dinners, with catering, plus committee work and the choir. They, along with Pat, are on or have been on almost every committee we've had. Pat takes care of the coffee time, plus everything. Pat's the girl that says, oh, I can do that, even if she's got 20,000 other things on her plate. A lot of you are like that. Elaine was an excellent church secretary, so I'm told, because it was before my time. And she was followed by Nancy Kell, who held that position for a while. And then Chris took over, and so she's the only secretary that I've ever known here. And she's so dependable. Yvonne spent a time as the organist and choir leader, again, before my time. And as I said, Pat helps everywhere. She's a trustee, she sits with the Good Neighbor Project, and she's the I can do that girl. And like the McCutcheons and the Greens, it's a family affair. John Elliott has been very involved with chairing the Good Neighbors, with helping catering, with leading property committee. He is also the self-appointed social convener of our church and a trustee. He doesn't sing in the choir, though. And then there's Jeff. Jeff has held positions on many committees over the years, but right now he's a trustee and an MMP chair. And he's a good one. And then Gord. Gord's been a longtime trustee. He's probably one of the OG trustees. And he helps wherever he can, whenever he can. And Bill, even though we don't see Bill here on a Sunday morning, Bill is always with us in some way. And he lends a hand helping behind the scenes at the dinners, the bacon on a bun. He's our summer worship setup guy. He's also our Remembrance Day setup guy. And he sets up so many functions that happen downstairs. I think it's just one of those things that we expect Chris to say, oh, Bill will come and set the tables up. Voluntold, as all good husbands are. Now, we can't mention the anchors of this congregation without giving out some props to Bob Graham, who has the reputation for getting jobs done. And Stu, who works hard at everything and is the driving force for our outreach. John Hopkins. Not only does he add humor to every meeting, but he was the council leader for a lot of years, and he faithfully submits jokes to the church chat John's Corner. A great many of this congregation have taken a turn teaching Sunday school. You all help at dinners. You've all held positions on council or a committee at some point in your church life. And every now and again, we have something new, some new leader bubble up and something new shape and take form. And I think of our Lighthouse Ministries under the leadership of Marilyn Flanagan. And I think of the library under the leadership of Penny Jones. See, the one thing is for certain, the church is never stagnant. It's always changing, always growing. And some of you have put those roots into other places and ended up here when your places closed. You have left a legacy in the church, the big church, the body of Christ. Those things you did in Crumlin and Zion and wherever you are from, those who have come from Browns, the work that you do matters. And even if the church didn't survive, the body of Christ did. And you sowed seeds in ways you might never know. And so all of that matters and brings us to a place of celebration. Growth and change and adjustment are just a part of the church's DNA. And it continues on. And as I look around this congregation, I see so many people who have served in so many different capacities. I don't think there's anyone here who hasn't done something. But you have contributed to the life at Thorndale. You've contributed, more importantly, to the body of Christ in this world. One day, our names will be the memories. One day, my name will join the list of past ministers. and hopefully be the one with the longest serving term. 2 more years to go. Just to beat the record. I'll be here a lot longer than 2 years, I hope. A future congregation might look back on their celebration of Thorndale United Church and name the names of the people sitting here as those who contributed to the body of Christ in Thorndale and made a difference, who were brave to make hard decisions, who were good stewards to secure a future. So part of our role here as Thorndale United Church congregation is to prepare this space, the building, but also the congregation and the community for future worship and for future ministry that will come from this place. I think in a lot of ways, that's what Revitalize has been doing as we revamped the Zion Room and we're adding signage and we're just trying to make this place ready for what God has next. We didn't have to be as brave as to lift the church and dig out a basement, but what we're called to do requires faithfulness nonetheless. You see, it takes a village to be the church, and so we are. Now let me connect us to the scripture from this morning in a quick little paraphrase. 2 is better than 1, and 3 is even better still. When we work together, we are a stronger people. When we connect with our past and prepare for the future, we have brought 3 together as 1. See, the church isn't here because of one person's vision, but because of a community that grabbed that vision together and made it happen. And so too will we do the same for the congregation that's not yet here. And as we keep our eyes on Jesus and remain faithful to his call and serve him out of a good heart overflowing with love, our congregation will be mighty. We will be the kingdom of God, and we will see many wonderful things happen here and in the community that surrounds us. Even as we are a remembering people, we are also a people of this day, brought together by God to be a holy fellowship of believers, the body of Christ, sharing, caring, working in the world and living in the hope of the world to come. So our eyes look back with thanksgiving and our eyes look forward in hope. Therefore, with thanksgiving for the past and hope for the future, let us dedicate ourselves and our lives to the mission which God gives us in the present, as the Church of Jesus Christ in this place. Amen. May our church be like a tree and always watered by our Father in heaven. May our branches grow to be abundant with fruit and prosperous in its tidings as new seasons come and go. May God continue to bless our congregation with fruition and abundance. May the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Happy anniversary.